Welcome to Unlimited Parenting, where we discuss what it's like having children with disabilities and or special healthcare needs. My name is Allison, and today I have with me Melissa and Sarah, and today is Bring Your Own Topic, everyone's favorite podcast, the podcast where I make my coworkers uncomfortable. So let's begin. Melissa,
yeah.
Would you like to start? What topic have you brought to the table to discuss today?
Recently, it has been this summer, we had the Olympics, and it's been very sports-minded in my family lately. And so I was thinking, as a special needs parent, all of the Olympic events that I could participate in. So I'm an Olympic medalist in a lot of areas, and I was going to tell you guys about them. So I'm an Olympic gold medalist toenail clipper. Yeah, I'm Olympic bronze medalist at giving medicine with whipped cream, because it's a new one. It's a new event that I just started.
Shoot for the stars, baby girl.
I think I can get there. There's a little boxing that happens. I don't do actual hitting. I just get hit. So I'm good at dodging a lot of punches, kicks, throws. Maybe it's more MMA, but that's not an Olympic event.
So not yet.
There's some breakdancing that I think some of that happens unintentionally, just when I'm trying to, like, my moves are not good and they're not choreographed, but they happen. So I very much look like the Australian lady when I am breakdancing, because it's not real.
That video
is a good one. Okay. And then I know that this is not I was trying to figure out what kind of Olympic event this could be, but it was more of just after bath time. It's very much like wrestling a greased pig, but it's a wet body that you're trying to get a diaper and pajamas on a moist body, and it's hard. But we're really good at it.
Yeah, no.
So I just was bringing some humor to this top, and I wondered what other Olympic events that we all
as curling, curling, the luge. If we could all do the luge, track.
Yeah,
yes.
There's some eloping that would be very much a track event. Some high jumping.
But not the guy who had the accident when he was jumping.
Not that guy.
I mean, if it wasn't in the Olympics, is the dog the agility track when you're like,
not
an Olympic sport. It's in.
Oh, you're right.
And then cross country,
where Kevin Hart and Snoop Dogg were narrating the Olympics or whatever. And
they were in her slide.
Yes.
Yeah. I have to tell you, I know this wasn't part of our topic, but really, that was one of my favorite things about the Olympics, is Snoop and Kevin Hart and their commentary.
And I just want people to make it funny.
I do, too. And that's where I am today. So my Olympic events that I enter into, I don't enter willingly into them. I'm just a participant that has to.
Because I'm the person that sits on the couch eating popcorn mixed with M&Ms and a big old Coke, watching the Olympics, like, really? That's the best dive you can do.
So you would be judging my toenail clipping, and you'd be like, really? You could do a little bit better.
You're still using the baby toenail clippers?
I have to.
Sometimes I have to wait till my kids are asleep.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. Or medicated.
Yeah. That's a good one.
I am being so for real. But maybe that gives me an unfair advantage if we are talking in terms of Olympic sport.
No doping. I have a real question.
Okay.
And this is not my topic, but now that we're talking about it, I really want to ask. So this may not be politically correct, but I'm giving it my best shot. You know how when you play a sport and maybe you get a little delay, or you get some extra support, and they call it a handicap?
Oh, like in,
you know what I'm talking about?
Golf is, I think, too.
This player gets a handicap. Are we doing away with that at any point? You're the sports person in my life.
I play sports that have handicaps, though.
Okay, thank you. So it's not every sport.
No.
They don't call that in every sport.
Absolutely.
I think.
Golf is the only.
It's just golf. Okay, so are we going to deprecate? Like, do I need to start a petition to get rid of that term? Because maybe Okay, so my husband does watch a lot of golf. And so with that,
I know. If you need a minute to let that sink.
I'm really sorry. That surprises me about your husband.
I know.
Okay, I apologize. I mean, no ill will, but
I know the enigma shroud in a mystery. He's in the closet watching golf.
Golf just seems like the most boring sport to watch on TV.
It is.
It is.
It's okay. You know what, though? And maybe this is just basketball. Yeah. I can't watch basketball.
Hmm.
I just recently found out that there are two teams on a football team.
She did.
Because I was not
alive.
No, hear me out. Hear me out. Hear me out.
Ben?
Yes.
Gotcha.
So I don't remember. When was the last Super Bowl that had Tom Brady?
It was a few years ago.
Okay. Thank you. A few years ago, the last Super Bowl I watched, I looked at my husband and we're not alone. We're at a party. There are multiple people around us. And I said, wait a second. The Patriots are out there. Where's Tom Brady? And my husband goes, he's on the sidelines. It's not his turn to play. What do you mean it's not his turn to play? I thought he played the whole game. And actually,
if you're Bubby.
Yeah, if you're my kid on the high school football team, you play both ways.
But you do?
Now we confused her. I'm sorry.
So in high school, you can play both teams, but in college and pro, you can't.
Yes. Well, you could if they want you to. But there would be reasons that you wouldn't want.
You know what? This is why I like IDEA. There is no maybe, potentially, perhaps. There is. This is what it is, and this is what it's not.
True.
Call me a black and white thinker.
Mm-hmm.
But
I wouldn't.
I
call you that. That would be rude.
I know, but okay. So
that I want you guys to know I'm an Olympian.
You are. Mm-hmm. I bet you could also do some of the hand-eye coordination sports because you're like throwing clothes in the laundry hamper,
yeah,
or like diapers in the wastebasket.
Table tennis.
Table tennis is at the Olympics.
Yeah. Sorry, listen.
But really, table tennis is in the Olympics.
Yes, yeah.
This show is called Allison Doesn't Know Anything About Sports, episode 85.
I think, yeah, we could have multiple episodes.
Yeah, we could.
What Allison doesn't
we
know
could.
About sports.
We could just have episodes about what I don't know.
Well, that's not fair. All of us.
I know.
Those episodes. You primarily are sports-based.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I could read a book about it.
He was the 84th man to die in the Mosquito Bowl.
Okay.
Anyways,
I'm Olympian.
Was that you?
You're me. That was me.
Olympian, Melissa. Okay, but if you added all of your score together, would that put you silver medal? Because I heard you say you wanted one bronze.
I just said I'm not good at the medication giving yet because my kiddo has primarily always received his meds via his G-tube, and we now have a new one that he has to take by mouth, and it has been a challenge, but we're getting there.
I can't believe I didn't send you this TikTok. I saw a TikTok last night. I stumbled onto Disability Talk, and I'm so happy I'm finally there, but this mom had, it looked like a garlic press. She put the pill in, it crushed it.
Yeah.
She mixed it up in a little bit of fluid.
Yeah.
And then she had you all know what I'm talking about.
Mine is like a screw.
Yeah, that's what mine is.
It did not look like that. It looked like, and she, like,
wow,
like a lemon squeezer.
Yeah.
And you guys can't see me, but I'm squeezing my hand as if I'm pushing a garlic press.
Yeah, she,
like a milk in a cow.
Yeah.
And then she puts it in the fluid, and then she gets a syringe, and she just put it in his mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Would he do that? Or is he cool just swallowing the pill? I guess is what I'm
saying. So this particular pill is one that can't be crushed.
Really?
He's taking an ER? Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah. So yeah, I guess to wrap that up nicely with
the
little, I would be bronze medal medication giver because I'm getting there. But I have multiple gold medals in toenail clippings.
So for real, you're just a gold medalist.
I'm a gold medalist.
I'm a gold medal. I would say I'm a gold medalist at changing diapers.
Yeah, I probably am too.
Like, yeah. People are like, you're already done?
Where
are you messing around here?
Yeah.
You know what I want? Excuse me. I want like a mini. You remember when we used to wash cloth diapers, or you've seen someone wash cloth diapers, and they have the little thing connects to the toilet. It's like a shower sprayer, and you can spray the diaper off before you wash it.
That's a real thing?
Yes. What I want.
It's like a bidet.
In toilet?
It is kind of like a bidet.
Oh,
it is.
Interesting.
Well.
Oh, wow.
It sits by the toilet.
Bro. Oh, okay. Like,
I don't know. I'm doing this justice. parents of children who use cloth diapers are going to come for me in the comments.
But you use cloth diapers.
I know, but it's just not very well. A quick minute.
Yeah, I was using the bidet to wash them out. I'm just kidding. I didn't. But I want like a power washer kind of a thing for parents of adult children to use.
Yeah.
Because I've heard some horror stories about some bowel movements, and I'm wondering, like, could you use
something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of times, that's why we utilize the shower.
Okay, thank you. Because I am...
For various...
My kids use diapers, but it's like a urinary incontinence thing, so we don't have the full spectrum of love and joy that you guys do.
Yeah, it's fun.
So does that mean you guys could be Olympic swimmers too?
That's an event that I don't want to enter.
Yeah,
we try to not enter those events.
We try. But usually those events take place when you're at the doctor's office, so... All the tools and supports are at home.
Yeah.
Where you can't access them.
That is always the case.
Your turn, Sarah.
So I wasn't quite sure what to talk about. So I was presented with an option to look into a clinical trial.
Okay.
For my child. And my brain is struggling. Am I using my son as a science experiment? Or... Should we just let things lie where they lie?
Oh my God, we don't get this deep and bring your own topic.
I know,
Sarah, sorry. This is intense.
It is.
But okay, tell me more about it.
I was talking to my older children yesterday that found this trial. And part of me has always felt like in this journey, we're here for a reason. Truman is for a reason to help people be better at their jobs, help the... doctors really practice their gift.
Yeah, you're right. Gift giver.
He is definitely good at that. We are always the bottom 10% of, you know, whatever they say is not going to happen. We're that 10% that does happen. And so he's constantly challenging his providers and his doctors and his parents about how well they are good at doing their job.
And so he's the ultimate litmus test.
He is. And so I've always felt, you know, with all the different medications that we're trying back and forth, we sometimes just feel like a walking science experiment anyway.
Okay. Okay.
So I'm waffling on how to move forward on a clinical trial that could enhance his quality of life. I don't want to change him because... Truman is who he is.
Right, right.
But if you're presented with an opportunity to elevate someone's quality of life.
How do you not, right?
For them, not for me, but yeah.
Yeah. Right? So let me ask you this. As a person who's really outside of this, I think my first question would be, is this kind of like a pill? Is it an injection? Is it surgery? Like how invasive?
It would be surgery and an implantation. And the kiddo is filled with metal already.
Oh, right.
He's
from his back surgery.
He has a rod from the T2 right above the shoulders and neck to his pelvis.
So it's his whole back, basically.
So his entire back. And he has a baclofen pump that gives him medication to his spinal fluid and then a feeding tube. So it's like, are we really creating this bionic boy? Or, you know, maybe philosophically thinking this is what we're put on the earth to do for him.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Let's say you go through with it, right? And he does become a part of this clinical trial. What are some side effects he could experience? Because
I need to do more research.
Well, I guess another thing that I'm thinking is that your son is a non-speaking individual. So it's not like it could take away an ability, but it has the potential of giving an ability.
Right.
And this is something that has worked before for another person, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just one person? They've only done it on one person?
But it's been approved through the FDA. So.
Stop. Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I know.
So what are the requirements? Like, who are they looking for?
They're looking for someone who is quadriplegic. So Truman has no use of his... all four limbs, that's what that means, and the inability to verbally speak words and get anything out to anyone to understand what he needs and wants.
So what you're saying here is that he is the perfect candidate,
mm-hmm.
and it could benefit him.
Yeah.
And it's at no cost to
you? I don't think so, but you know, where do I, and we're his guardian, will be his legal guardian. So it's.
So let me ask a different question. What Truman uses an AAC device, mm-hmm. have you asked him how he felt about it?
That's a good question. I think, not that I can remember, but I do remember his brothers talking to him about it while we were at the movie the other day.
And
I didn't know enough about it to also inform him of it. So that will be a conversation for sure that we have together. And with his dad and, you know, things like that.
Yeah, but the full team, really.
I guess I am more like, do we just leave it alone? Or leave Truman alone and move throughout space and time the way it is, or provide an opportunity to join a clinical trial? And I know that we've explored clinical trials here with our own kids in the office and had discussions about it. And I just never thought it would be possible for
Truman, right?
Yes. And so now I am faced with that mental grappling, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I know it was a heavier topic than the Olympics.
Sorry.
Well, no.
We could offer some.
But it just presented itself over the last couple of days. And I'm like, this might be a really good thing to talk about. Because we all want what's best for our kids.
Yep.
And
yeah,
those of us who have kids who are extremely challenging, be it medically, physically, behaviorally, we're always looking to make sure that they live the best life that they can.
Yep.
Yeah.
When is there like a due date? Like, do you have to give someone?
Like, not sure.
Not sure. Oh, my God.
All I know is the intake form is going to take about an hour.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And is it an interview or it's just the form?
It's just the patient registry form.
I mean, I know we're not supposed to give advice here at Idaho Parents Unlimited, but I would do it.
Right?
I know.
I would do it.
Yeah.
I've assuming Truman consents, which I feel like he would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's just gets so frustrated that he can't.
Yeah,
people can't understand him.
I think this is a really good time to plug those person-centered planning tools, and you can use some of the, you know, the support star, and you can use some of those trajectory tools to really navigate this conversation with Truman and the other members of his team.
Yeah.
Well, and your boys kind of found,
and they're his older brothers. Yes, they have always been trying. They hate all the meds that he has to
take. That is honestly so sweet.
I know.
So,
isn't that just the sweetest? Sweet. They're 4 and 6 years older than him. And they just heard about it and were like, Mom, have you tried, looked into this? And I'm like, no, what is it? And so
I know.
My youngest always,
right.
He used to ask when the scientists were going to make the talking medicine for my son,
who's nonverbal.
Right?
Yep.
And we've always talked about there's, you know, science is doing amazing things and there's clinical trials and all of these things. And he always he wants to hear his brother talk, you know, even if it's to tell him to get away from him and stop playing with his toys. We want to hear our kids talk.
I know. And I think we don't want to change them, right?
Yeah,
we don't want to change them. And we're not trying to cure whatever it is that they have, because what our kids experience is not curable.
Right.
But
it's that quality of life.
Enhancing that quality of life so that when we're not around.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a hard conversation to have.
It is.
Even if you're just having it with yourself.
Right. Mm-hmm. Just in your own.
Yeah.
And it's a conversation that even amongst families can have.
Oh my God, you're
different.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you, I guess, need to carve a safe space out in your heart for when you do have those conversations with families so that you have some tools to navigate if it's going to go an opposite way.
Yeah. And then I think that pushes us to be on our own isolated island anyway. So,
oh my gosh.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It'll be within our family unit.
Yeah.
Our tight family unit. That we work this through.
Well, and that's how we've always approached all of our decisions, is from that medical standpoint of how can him as that center, right? That person-centered planning, they're the center. And how can we guide all of our choices and honor what we feel would be the best for him? It's a hard
thing.
But, I mean, if he was a typical kid,
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's always what we want to treat our children like, okay. Right? That they're just typical kids. He could do this without asking any of our consent, right? Because he's an adult and he can do whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. So if Truman consents to it, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks.
Yeah, that's true.
You're right.
Yep. You're making the best decision.
Yeah. Cool. What about you?
Yeah, what's your topic?
Oh, God, what about me? Well, it's not
time to be got.
It's not as deep as a clinical trial or as fun. God, thanks for making me go last. Mine is about the conference that I recently went to.
Oh, yeah.
So it was the Division of Early Childhood for the Council on Exceptional Children. Say that five times fast. It meets annually, and its audience is administrators, teachers, coaches, early education providers, and parent training information centers. So one thing that I thought was really interesting was how different every state is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was really unique. I thought that the sessions were hands down the best ones that I had ever been to. The keynote speaker was fantastic. I made a lot of connections. I talked to a lot of vendors, so I feel like I have more resources that we could give to parents now as a result. But it was the hardest thing to go by myself.
But she did it.
It was so hard.
I know.
Oh my God, you guys, I had to get in an Uber by myself. Allison, welcome to the 20th century. There's Ubers. I'd never done any of that before. And it was my Uber driver's birthday.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And he even showed me proof because he was like, a lot of people don't believe me because they think I just want a bigger tip or more stars or whatever. So he's like, no, really, it's really my birthday.
And then has a license for every day.
Yeah, right? It was really funny.
Conspiracy theory.
He was really polite. He said, can I take a call?
That's nice.
I said, sure, why not? Answer the phone. And he answers the phone and you could...
Hands free.
Everyone was very safe. I don't know what the laws are in New Orleans regarding driving while on the phone.
Yeah.
But it was very safe. And I think it's so funny how no matter what language someone is speaking, you can recognize happy birthday. It was really? So sweet. And it was just
what?
It was in he ended up telling me that he spoke, his native language was Chinese. So someone was calling him to wish him happy birthday and they sang it in Chinese. And he was like, let me take it off speakerphone. I was like, no, leave it. Leave him, please.
That's really cool.
It was so sweet. And then
never heard of the in Chinese.
The singing kind of panders out.
Yeah.
And then you start hearing all of these little voices. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy. So it was like this huge group. And they were.
I wanted to cry.
You could tell that they were just like little voices. And he was like. And he looked up in the rearview mirror. And he was like, nieces, nephews. And he was. Oh, my. It was so sweet. And I was like, what are you doing working on your birthday?
Really?
Something about Uber gives you double diamonds or something. Yeah. You work on your. I'm like.
He encouraged.
That's what I was thinking. And it brings me back to the whole thing about, and I know you feel this very strongly in your bones, working on Thanksgiving.
No.
Yes,
I feel that.
For those of you who don't know, Melissa had a life in retail before iPoll, and I had a life much shorter than Melissa in retail.
So I'm old.
And no, because I just didn't spend that much time in that world, but you worked a lot. Of Thanksgivings.
And I refuse. I will never work another. That was a condition of my employment at iPool. I was like, hey, I'm never working Thanksgiving or Black Friday.
Just and Angela FYI. Was like, no, neither am I.
No.
Yeah, she's like, it's a federal holiday.
You don't have to.
I would volunteer. Mm-hmm. I would volunteer because you got double time.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm all about that.
Right. But I was salaried for most points, so that I was told to be here.
We had to.
Yeah.
In all fairness, my kids were really, really little, and they didn't care about Thanksgiving yet.
No.
Like, they liked the family being all together, and they thought that was cool. But it wasn't like you were missing out on Christmas.
No, and I didn't miss out. I still participated in our dinner. It just was always, it was always... I gotta hurry through this, or I wasn't in an enjoyable.
Or Melissa's family doesn't stay to do the dishes because she has to get ready to go for the next shift, right?
For real.
I noticed that though, and I know this wasn't my topic, but I did notice that parents are like, or family members are like, you chose this.
Yeah.
can't you just take the day off?
Yeah, no.
And I think you really don't understand.
No, and I don't think anyone has the right to say,
right, Target never sleeps.
You chose this. No, sometimes we have to work, and that's a stipulation, right? Like, I don't know.
I know.
I hate that excuse.
It was really, it came full circle when my mom decided to work retail for a little bit. And then she was like, oh my word, it's so hard. I'm like, yeah.
Thank you.
That's what I was telling you.
Thank you.
It's yours. You're welcome.
So, I guess.
Now my daughter works retail too. So it's just full circle. She'll have to.
It's a job that everyone needs to, I think.
I agree.
Experience that.
It's a retail,
right?
Yes.
Service.
Oh my gosh. Makes you a more compassionate human.
It really does.
And you learn how to speak to people nicely or
appreciative.
Appreciate.
I love how Melissa will shut the door so no one can hear her when she has to use her customer service voice on the phone.
For real.
Yes.
I'm for real. We all have those.
Oh, too. Absolutely. Yeah. But I remember it was so painful for you when you were training me and you were like, don't look at me. It's just so funny and I will never not remember. Anyway, I'm sorry. I say all of that to say, you know, the DEC conference, the Division of Early Childhood Conference, it's every year. It's not always in New Orleans, even though that was super fun and cool. Parents can go. There's a family track.
Okay.
If you have the ability and the propensity and the want and the will and the drive and I don't know how many other synonyms I can name, you should go. It was really great. I hope that more of us can go next year.
You know, I think the conference that you and I went to was,
I think,
part of the Council for Exceptional Children.
They put on
it was for older and dispute resolution, but it did have a component or a collaboration with the Council for Exceptional Children, and they got it going on.
Yeah. They have that was so much support. I mean, they networked, right? OSEP was there. David Cantrell, Christy Kavalik, everybody was there. Everyone that we would see in our OSEP spaces. And I don't want listeners to think that it was just IPOL that went from Idaho. Oh, no. I won't say her name, but there was an employee for the Shoshone School District who was there.
Really?
Yes. Wow. Local to Idaho communities were sending people to Louisiana to gain the knowledge to bring it back to Idaho. And there were a lot of, you know, you'll see people that say, you know, like, I follow the Department of Early Childhood practices. Mm-hmm. Like, they list the practices that they want to see in our communities, and we help support them, right?
Yeah. I think that's great.
New literature on behavior, new literature on disproportionality, suspensions, whatever the case may be.
Family engagement.
Family engagement was a huge one. And I feel like people don't understand how states can be so different, though, because there was one session where I was talking about family engagement and they were just like, They looked at me like I had 75 heads when I was trying to talk about what Idaho does, and they were just like, why? And I was like, that's a great question, but this is where we are. So instead of asking me why, maybe give me some solutions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because you can't look me in my face and tell me that your state was never in this position.
Yeah.
Because you were, and how did you not be anymore?
Yeah. Yep. What were our steps to pull us from where we currently sit to a more robust family engagement?
Yeah. If I closed my eyes and I dreamed about like what I would want for Idaho, it would be for everyone to just have compassion and want to be collaborative and want to play in the sandbox together and remember that it's not about he said, she said, it's not about the parent, it's not about the teacher, it's about the child who is getting support. It's not, I had a worse day than you, or I'm working harder than you, or whatever the case may be. It's about the child.
It is.
It's a good way to end the podcast.
I think so.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, everyone out there, for listening in. And know that if you are in Idaho or planning on moving to Idaho and have questions on systems or services for children with disabilities, please consider reaching out to us on our website at IPUL Idaho. That's IPUL Idaho.org,
or by calling us at 208-342-5884. Be sure to tune in next time. Until then, this has been Unlimited Parenting.
Thanks for listening.